Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to We Dig Plants on Heritage Radio Network. Today, we are continuing our month-long series about horticulture and beauty, and we have a super fun guest with us to talk products and about what botanicals can bring to our lives to keep us fresh, clean, scrubbed, and vivacious.
I'm feeling vivacious right now.
It's in the cold fall weather.
Oh my God, it dropped like 20 degrees, 30 degrees in a day, and yeah. So things have...
But the leaves are starting to turn.
Yeah,
it's quite beautiful.
Which is nice. And so I was telling Alice before that I was, you know, furiously schlepping plants in all weekend, trying and making pesto because my basil is going to die. So speaking of death, before we get into our guest, there's a really fun event for those of you that are in the New York City area. There's a fall foliage and tree tour of Greenwood Cemetery on October 25th at 2 p.m.
Right.
And if you all haven't been to the Greenwood Cemetery, you should go.
In fact, it is a walk in the past of old New York.
It is beautiful. It's a national treasure. I mean, it really is this incredible. Everybody pretty much knows about Prospect Park, but Greenwood is a park into and of itself, you know. So anyway, the Indoor Garden Society is sponsoring it, and it's free. So you should check out their their Facebook page, tells you more about it. Go to Facebook, Indoor Garden NYC, and they'll give you a little bit of a preview. So I highly...
And there are species that have not been touched since the 1600s.
Yes, in that cemetery. It's a really great... It's great for, you know, plant lovers, like plant geeks and tree lovers, and also sort of history buffs.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of very famous people buried there.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
I recommend it.
And it's one of the highest points in Brooklyn.
Yes.
So you can see this amazing view of the harbor.
Yeah.
Anytime
I get a chance to go, whether it's for good reasons or bad, it's inspiring, you know, as a landscape. So definitely check it out. Also, I wanted to mention that I'm about halfway through my 30 shows in 30 days.
Right. Of heritage shows.
And I'm listening to them in chronological order, you know, starting on Sundays. And I'm really having a good time. And I want to just point out a couple of ones that have become kind of favorites. Arts and Seizures. It's really fun. They have really great intro music, and they're very fun. And
he's hilarious.
Arts and Seizures the same way every time. And I also really, really liked Eat Your Words, which was fun. Snacky Tunes was really fun as well. Great combo of music and talk. And then who else did I really love? I just want to shout out to Katie Kiefer. She is a radio... maven. She is a natural, and she did a great show on her show, What Doesn't Kill You. She did a great segment on agricultural pollution, which sounds so intense
heavy
but she does incredible research. She has great guests. So, and I also had a lot of fun with Wild Game Domain. That was a really fun show. So check out some of the other shows.
Listen up,
and I'll report back at the end of the month with some more. All right. Thank you,
Liz. Nice, Liz. All right. So today we are talking about beauty. We're continuing our month-long series of beauty. In the first of the series, in an earlier episode, we reviewed the history of some botanicals as beauty enhancers. And today's guest is going to wax poetic on this, and she will give us some great tips and product advice. Welcome, Trey Bodge, beauty expert.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Trey. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. Carmen, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about Trey?
Okay, first I'm going to tell you what I posted a picture of what Trey looks like. If that isn't evidence enough that you should listen to her.
Right.
I don't know.
She's so dramatic
okay?
and gorgeous.
Her skin is gorgeous. Her hair is everything
about
her.
And she's natural. That's what's great.
It's natural. So look at the photo and listen to what Trey has to say today, okay?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so embarrassed.
So Trey, besides being gorgeous, is an accomplished lifestyle journalist, TV presenter, spokesperson, and educator, specializing in beauty, tech, apps, toys, gift guides, and smart shopping. She has appeared as an expert on dozens of TV shows and radio networks, including Today, Rachel Ray Show, Steve Harvey, Extra, Inside Edition, CNN, Reuters, CNBC.com, Better TV, NBC's New York Live, WINS, WNEW, Sirius Radio, and numerous Fox, ABC, CBS, and NBC affiliates. Trey has been featured as a beauty tastemaker in Elle, Redbook, InStyle, and Essence, and she has bylined articles for ExoJane.com, USANews.com, MainStreet.com, SteveHarvey.com, AllYou.com, and RetailMeNot.com. Trey co-founded and served as creative director of the cult cosmetic brand 3 Custom Color Specialist. She was also a professional makeup artist for more than 15 years, and currently she is a sought-after spokesperson, journalist, brand strategist, and executive media coach. So there you have it.
So Trey.
Beauty and brains. All in one package.
Tell us a little bit about botanicals in the industry and how they are received kind of overall.
Well, I think these days botanicals are very popular. I think the consumer as a whole is very interested in seeing botanicals in products and maybe more curious than they might have been in previous years. I worked for Kiehl's many years ago. I'm dating myself now, in the early 90s. Uh-huh. And back then, people were a little bit suspicious about botanicals and beauty products. They didn't really understand why they might be there. And, you know, I think the assumption was is that they botanicals and beauty products, like, oh, that's the kind of thing that, you know, I buy at the health food store,
right.
You know, as a last-ditch effort. Now it's really coming to the forefront. It's very interesting to see the way they're being used. And with technology, they have the use of them has definitely improved. So it's a very interesting thing to see.
So can we address some of the favorite botanical ingredients and some of the treatment benefits?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is something that's a passion of mine. I love to discover new botanicals that are being used in products. And I have a few favorites, and I'll kind of run through them and run through some of their treatment properties just so your listeners can kind of keep your eyes peeled. If you do see these ingredients in a product and it's a treatment benefit that appeals to you, it might be a product that might be of interest to you.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I mean, blueberries for me are among my favorites. Because they have anti-aging properties, but they also are antioxidant. And especially for those of us who are living in or near a city, we're sort of under constant attack by pollution and other things kind of flying around in the air, and that actually causes our skin to age, unfortunately. So anything with an antioxidant quality is really something that you should be looking for. So blueberry is one of those things. I love blueberries in products. And also other berries like pomegranate seeds, for instance, those are also very helpful and also have a high antioxidant quantity in them. And then kind of on the tea side, I love green tea, obviously, for drinking. But green tea is also an extensively studied ingredient that is also a potent antioxidant, like we were just saying with the blueberries. But green tea is also an anti-inflammatory. It stimulates collagen in the skin. So that's another really nice one. There are some that are a little bit funny, like you wouldn't really expect them to be in a beauty product, like coffee.
Right.
you know, coffee, again, is a very high antioxidant, so it has anti-aging properties, but it's also a stimulant. So you might see it in a product that's good for use in the morning, like a body scrub or a body wash. Something like that to be used on the skin in the morning can actually make you feel more awake, and we all love that. And also, the caffeine in coffee, and this is interesting for those of us who might be concerned with cellulite, which is probably all
everyone.
Of us if we're the female persuasion, coffee actually helps reduce the appearance of cellulite when used in certain levels in a product.
You can't just drink it, though, Trey. You have to put it on. You have to apply.
Exactly.
You can't drink your cellulite. You can't drink enough.
Another fun ingestible chocolate, and this is something that's a little bit surprising. The chocolate actually has beautifying ingredients, and in particularly the cacao. This is where chocolate and cocoa butter are derived from. And cocoa butter, we've probably seen in lots of products throughout the years, and that's very beneficial. But coffee itself is very helpful for the skin too, and actually has a higher level of antioxidants than blueberries and green tea.
Oh.
So that's another really fun one. And then, you know, I could go on for days, but I'll give you one
more for
fun.
You're saying that chocolate has more antioxidants than the green tea, the blueberries, almost all of them.
Yes. So it's super powerful. Chocolate and you know, where it comes from, cacao, are very high in antioxidants. So that's a really good one to look out for.
That's so interesting. So it's not, so you're seeing it in beauty products now, derivatives
of it. Yes, I'm seeing it in a lot of beauty products, and you know, particularly the Body Shop, off the top of my head, they have a lot of chocolate products.
Interesting.
And so that's a fun one to look at. Carol's Daughter also originated in Brooklyn, a great skincare and hair care line, and they use chocolate as well. So that's another fun one to look at.
Yeah, I mean, I used cocoa butter the whole time that I was pregnant.
Yeah.
I rubbed it all over my belly.
Yeah,
Stretch marks.
Stretch marks.
And
right.
I had no stretch marks.
Yeah, me too.
Trey.
You gave it to me. It was great.
Yeah, I just, you know. So, but now they're going beyond just the cocoa butter, right? They're using different aspects.
Nut butters.
It's very interesting.
And, you know, when you talk about butters, there are so many great butters out there. For instance, mango seed butter, avocado also, and then shea butter. So these are obviously all plant-derived, and they are all very similar in that efficacy to really moisturize and nourish the skin. So for stretch marks, for dryness, as we're heading into wintertime, many of us might be seeing some ashiness on our skin or feeling some dryness or tightness in our skin. So those butters can be really helpful for that.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like this morning, I was like, oh, here we go. You know, like not only are the walls closing in my apartment, but my skin is getting too tight and dry, and yeah, I'm not feeling the summer
glow anymore.
The summer glow anymore.
I was so determined, Trey, to not let my suntan flake off. I was like dipping myself in cocoa butter and oils every day. I said, you know, I know that if
this is going to work.
If I moisturize, I'm not going to like flake off all this color, you know? And it's really great to, I mean, it's so funny when you think about the products. Like, these are things that were probably used by indigenous or local people way before we discovered them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
That's a great point, actually, because a lot of these ingredients, you know, they're brought to us by from other areas of the world, and something to be mindful of is where they're coming from.
Right.
And so there are a lot of companies that are very mindful of this. You want to look for companies that talk about fair trade.
Okay.
You know, especially these butters, you know, things like chocolate, coffee. Ingredients like that, you do want to be very mindful of that because, you know, it's like diamonds. You don't know where they're coming from and who's being mistreated as a result.
Right.
So fair trade is a good term to kind of look for when you're looking for these botanical ingredients, because you know that they are coming from a place where there is a cooperative where people are working and they are actually earning money to bring back home to their family. So that's a good note to be mindful of if you're looking for botanical products.
I just read an article actually about shea butter out of South Africa, and sorry, I have a little cold, so my voice is a little funky, but about this cooperative that these women had started down in South Africa, and it's all because of shea butter. And it was a wonderful story. And you know, they've started a small business, and they're putting money back into the community, and
they're making a living that they can support their families
right.
a little bit better than just somebody exploiting them, taking all the resources
right.
and not giving back.
Right.
Trey, can you give some examples of companies that do have that, you know, that fair
ethos.
Trade, you know, mindset that's important?
Yes. So, you know, I mentioned the Body Shop before, and they are, you know, one of the larger companies, beauty companies that use botanicals in their products, but they have a very strong fair trade platform. And so when you go to their site, they will call it out on all of their pages and tell you where the products are derived from and a little bit of information about the cooperatives that they're working with. So that's a good one to look at. Tarte. Is a beauty company that they source a lot of their ingredients in fair trade, so that's a good one to look at for makeup specifically.
Oh.
I have a whole list of products that I really like. So,
what about Weleda? That's a one, Weleda. That was a
mm-hmm.
We used it.
Yeah, Weleda actually is a very interesting company because they farm a lot of their own products. And so they use biodynamic farming methods, and I was just researching this today for this conversation. They harvest 135 acres of biodynamic gardens of their own. So most of their ingredients come from their own gardens,
mm-hmm.
and you will find that a lot with a lot of these botanical beauty companies. So Weleda is one of those, and then also another one that I like is Dr. Hauschka.
Yes,
farm a lot of their own ingredients, which I love. And then they do also source fair trade ingredients.
Yeah, we had
them
on last week because we wanted to. Their story is really interesting. It's
mm-hmm.
similar to Weleda. Started a long time ago,
uh-huh.
you know, almost like 80 years ago. Very much pioneers in the field. And the same thing with the Body Shop. I remember the Body Shop in the 80s, Trey.
Yeah.
You know, like they were one of the first
mm-hmm.
to sort of do that, you know, fair trade, looking at where the ingredients are coming
holistic,
from. Holistic. Yeah. And I'm so excited that they're still around,
uh-huh.
you know, and still doing what they're doing, you know.
I know. It's great to see these old companies kind of still making their way and still mm-hmm. obviously introducing really interesting products and obviously sourcing them responsibly. There are a couple of newer brands that I really like that are kind of playing in this field as well. One of them is called Juice Beauty, and they use certified organic ingredients, a lot of juices, sort of they use a juice as their base in a lot of their products. That's like an aloe, jojoba, grapeseed, and shea infused with citrus juices. So a lot of their products are very juice-based and very brightening, which is a nice quality that I like from them. And then there's another brand called Tata Harper, and that's more of a luxury organic brand, so they're 100% natural and non-toxic, and they make beautiful products, although some of them are a little bit out of price range. I fell in love with one particular product of theirs that's absolutely gorgeous, and then I looked at the price tag and I thought, oh my god, okay. So let's dial back a little bit and go to the Body Shop because it's a little bit more affordable.
Yeah.
But you know, and that's another point, I think, when you're talking about products that are sourcing products or ingredients from plants. Sometimes, depending on how those ingredients are derived, the products do tend to get a little bit pricey,
mm-hmm.
Especially when companies are using very high-tech processes to derive those extracts from the plants. Sometimes you will pay for that in the product, and you will feel the difference as well. I mean, I'm definitely not a proponent of buying sort of the cheapest thing on the shelf, just because a lot of times you can really tell when you're using it on your skin.
Yes, yes,
so I
absolutely.
Kind of like to mix a high-low. You know, I'll get my Tata Harper serum, and then I'll go to my Body Shop, shea butter, body butter, and kind of mix it up that way.
Yeah.
because I think, you know, sometimes when you pay a little bit more for a product, there's a reason for it, especially with these more organic or natural products that are sourcing botanical ingredients.
Right. And it's also true, some of the stuff is very expensive, but a little goes a long way, Trey, mm-hmm. right? Some of the better quality things, you don't need to use as much of it. You know, it's sort of kind of more concentrated.
Specialized.
Yeah, and right. concentrated, I found, you know?
I would totally agree. I think it's, you know, use it in you use the smallest amount possible, unless, of course, you're using a sunscreen, and then I do say kind of slather it, because you really want those sunscreen ingredients to fully protect your skin. But otherwise, if you're using, for instance, a cleansing oil, which is kind of a newer trend that we've seen in the past couple years, and those very often contain high levels of botanicals, you really only need one drop to cleanse your whole face. And
yeah.
so, you know, use the smallest amount possible, and it will go a long way. Something to keep in mind, though, you don't want to be kind of stingy with these more botanical products, because sometimes the shelf life is limited.
Yeah.
You know, to be 100% natural, 100% organic, sometimes there's no preservative in the product.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're holding on and you're using a drop a week or something like that, the product could go bad on you, too. It's kind of like food. So
yeah.
you want to move through it regularly, but use it sparingly at the same time.
Yeah. Trey, we have to take a break. Hang on to the line. We've got tons more questions for you. And this is a fascinating topic. We're with Trey Bodge, beauty expert on We Dig Plants, Heritage Radio Network.
National Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Hi, welcome back to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. We are talking beauty again today, botanical beauty specifically, with Trey Bodge, beauty expert. So, Trey, let's get into some specifics about some of the various plants. For example, cannabis has become
quite the new
ingredient in everything, especially in Colorado, I read.
Yeah. That's funny. Last year, I was just kind of, I'm always looking around for what's new and interesting in beauty, and I started seeing cannabis or hemp popping up as an ingredient in products, and I thought, wait a minute, what is going on here? And so I did a little bit more digging, and I wrote a post on it for the RetailMeNot.com blog about all these products that contained cannabis. And what's interesting about cannabis is that, you know, it's the oil itself or the extract that they have high levels of protein and also omega-3 fatty acids, so they're very nourishing for the skin, great for anti-aging and also for drier skin. So looking for that cannabis or hemp ingredient in your beauty products is definitely something to do. Body Shop, in particular, they have an entire collection of cannabis products. So they were the one brand that they kind of went whole hog with the cannabis ingredient, and they actually have a hilarious soap on a rope that's shaped like a marijuana leaf, which I absolutely loved. And so, you know, you got to get that one if anything. It's
yeah,
really
that's
great.
Fantastic. It's like Pope on a rope.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it was funny because I do broadcast segments, and I was pitching this out, and nobody was taking it. Like, today's show was like, no, thank you. And I thought, what?
You thought the Heritage Radio Network
of you.
Is Wait. The launch.
Well, is there an issue of, the oil coming from a legal source? Is that part of the problem with, or is it sort of, is the hemp oil that's used in cosmetics, like, it's obviously derived from the same plant, but is it just, you know,
is it just the image problem? Right. The like, true. No, yeah. No.
Yeah.
That's a great question. It actually is derived differently. And so it does not have, what is that chemical?
THC.
THC.
Yeah. THC.
Okay.
Yeah. So the oil that's used in skincare products does not contain THC. So there really is no issue with it. I just think that these TV shows were just too conservative to have fun with me.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have fun with you.
Plant. Yeah.
I'm going to get that. Maybe I'll get it for my adolescent son.
Well, I actually, for Christmas, we always kind of gave each other in my family, like some beauty product,
right.
Bath stuff. Like we just kind of pass right. it all around. And my brother he's 30 years recovering, and I stupidly just did not think, and I got him hemp hand, you know, lotion or like hand wash. He was not happy. He was really like, this is kind of uncool. And I was like, oh right, like I it just didn't even dawn
right,
on me,
right.
You know that,
yes.
Like and you know, he was right, and I should have been more sensitive about it, but
And you didn't say there's no THC in it.
Yeah, I just kind of shied away,
right.
And tucked tail, and you know,
right. It would be like me giving my mom Pope on a rope. So
yeah,
you know.
She would not find that.
She would
amusing.
Not find it amusing yeah. at all.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some other kind of non-traditional things that are in beauty products. Mushrooms.
Oh yes.
Yeah, so mushrooms actually boost the immune system, and they treat inflammation. So it's that you'll find that product in, say, you know, some kind of anti-inflammatory skincare products, especially skincare products for very sensitive skin that might tend to be red or inflamed. So that's a really interesting ingredient as well. I would definitely look for that one if you tend to be red or if your skin tends to get inflamed, especially around this time of year, because obviously our skin can tend to get a bit chapped and,
uh-huh.
and red.
Uh-huh. One of my favorite ones is sea buckthorn. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, sea buckthorn is one of those ingredients that, like, we're not really seeing it in a lot of products, which I was surprised to see, just because I think it's a very interesting ingredient. There's one brand that has a whole line of sea buckthorn products, but other than that, we're not seeing it a lot. I think it's just one of those things that, you know, for some reason, a lot of other brands have not figured out what it does. But it actually is very beneficial to the skin. It's a moisturizing ingredient.
Uh-huh.
So that's one to take a look at if your skin tends to be on the drier side.
Right. And then, of course, there's tea tree, which
been
around forever. And I think I remember Tiger Balm and tea tree were at the same, like, health food store,
yes.
in the 70s and 80s.
Well, we've come a long way
yeah.
from that, you know, a really
yeah,
long
that
way.
That crunchy, kind of funky-smelling, you know, store that I used to shop at. Now it's become mainstream, which is really lovely. And tea tree is wonderful for skin cleaning. And, you know, I'm actually using it right now to avoid getting lice with my little boy who's mm-hmm. in a lice environment, you know, now that he's in schools. And it's
yeah.
a great shampoo. It's, you know, it's
antiseptic.
It's
right?
an antiseptic. Yeah.
yeah.
And it has such a distinct smell. I actually love it.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, tea tree is one of those things. It's like you kind of either love it or you hate it in terms of the smell.
Right.
But it, like you were saying, it is a great lice repellent, and also is very good for irritated skin. So
uh-huh.
you will tend to see tea tree popping up in anti-acne products, for instance, because as someone who may be acneic may also have skin that tends to be irritated. And so that tea tree can have that soothing effect, but also a kind of antibacterial and cleansing effect. And, you know, these days when it is popping up in products, you might notice that it doesn't smell nearly as strong, just because I think companies are getting a lot more creative in how to kind of mask a smell like that, but also then take advantage of the great beneficial options from that ingredient.
Right, right. Now, let's move on to Carmen's favorite topic, the tomato.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
When I was in Italy this summer, I was at this medieval fair, and it just so happened that there was this young agronomist, right, who had started a farm growing botanicals, a young man, and one of his product lines contained tomato.
Uh-huh.
And I was really surprised by that, and I talked to him a little bit about it, and, you know, he said that we think of tomatoes as antioxidants when we eat them.
Right.
So I guess maybe there's similar properties when you use them externally.
Yes, we are definitely seeing that. I'm seeing a lot of products that contain tomato. kind of like tea tree, it definitely soothes the skin, but it also has the antioxidant properties that help protect the skin against environmental stress. So it's a really good one for, again, that very irritated or skin that tends to be red or tends to be inflamed. You'll see that, again, probably in your anti-acne products like you would a tea tree.
Okay. So there's so much out there, right? Like when somebody just wants some lip gloss and some rouge and some skin cream and some mascara and some sunscreen, which is pretty much my list. What are your kind of, I know this wasn't like on, we didn't discuss this earlier, so I hope I'm not putting you too much on the spot, but like, what would you suggest to kind of the normal listener who just needs some like good basic products?
Yeah, not a heavy makeup user.
Right. You know, just like a little color on the cheeks and a little like dash on the eyes and, you know, what would you suggest product wise?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if we're looking at it from the botanical perspective, right? You know, there are some brands that I like that I would take a look at, not only for your skincare, but also for your makeup. Like I mentioned, Juice Beauty before, they do have some makeup products. Dr. Hauschka does as well. And so those are the kind of brands that, you know, you're going to look to them for your more botanical skincare products.
Uh-huh.
Why not work with those brands for your makeup products as well?
Yeah.
Body Shop is another one. They have a lot of makeup products. So I think those are fun ones to look at. Tarte as well. Those are some, they use Amazonian clay in a lot of their beauty products. And so, you know, if you are a very low makeup user and you're just looking for kind of the bare minimum, the things that I typically recommend for that kind of consumer would be like a great concealer kind of foundation that you can use just even sparingly to diminish some redness in the skin or bags under the eyes. We all have them when we wake up, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would recommend that. That's like my number one don't go without it kind of product. And then, you know,
the
I love a good kind of lip and cheek combo product. You know,
oh,
I believe
yes.
Tarte has one.
Yeah.
You know, the nice lip and cheek gel to kind of throw on to give you a little bit of color, and then a mascara. And then, you know, something that people often forget but I think is crucial is a brow gel. And you're not necessarily going to find kind of an all-natural botanical brow gel necessarily, but like a clear brow gel, you know, Maybelline makes one, L'Oreal makes one, to just comb and groom your brows. Like, you will be shocked if you don't use a brow gel now, and you do tend to, if you have brows.
How does it feel?
People have very thin or you know, faint brows, and so it doesn't really matter so much. But if you have brows, and you know, brows are very on trend right now, if we're going to, you know, sort of talk about that.
Yeah.
But groomed brows, if you groom one brow and then you leave the other one alone, you'll be shocked by the difference in one half of your face to the other. It's like,
I'm
going to
try
crucial.
That. I don't have very thick brows, so I don't know if I can use gel. I'm always trying to like darken them, Trey, because I don't have a very like thick brow, you know? So you're suggesting it for people who are wanting to tame their more unruly eyebrows, right?
Yeah.
To make them more groomed looking. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, it is something that people forget about, and I think it's so important. And thankfully, like, if you are looking for something to kind of thicken the brow a little bit, if your brows are more faint, Rimmel, for instance, has a tinted brow gel, and we're seeing a lot more of... And Urban Decay has one as well. MAC has one. Clinique has one. So we're seeing some nice tinted brow gels out there that will help kind of plump the brow hair, give a little bit more color, and groom at the same time.
All right, let me ask you this question. Sunscreen, because we hear such horrible things about sunscreen. In fact, there's even some discussion about it's so bad you shouldn't even use it. You should just stay out of the sun, you know?
Yeah.
So what is your, like, sunscreen take?
You know, this is a really tricky one. And, you know, I've read a lot about this. And there, you know, like you said, there are different camps here. So we have people who say don't use it at all. And I think that is a huge
mistake. I think that's ridiculous. Yeah.
Because, you know, even if you wear a hat and don't go, you know, you're in your car, you're getting sun exposure. You're on a plane, you're getting sun exposure.
Yeah.
So, to my mind, I think it's important to use it. Then there are, you know, people in another camp that say, oh, you should only use natural sunscreen. And, you know, natural sunscreen, for the most part, is a more physical block. It's like a zinc oxide, which I don't know if you've ever tried to apply that on your face way and not look like a clown.
Yes.
It's very difficult. So that's really tricky. So, you know, to my mind, I say, you know, go for a more natural brand, like some of the brands that we've been talking about, like a Weleda, like a Dr. Hauschka. John Masters is another good one. And see what they have, you know, because for the most part, they're going to be looking at ingredients that are the least harmful to the skin. And, you know, I read a recent study that found that, you know, between people who used no sunscreen versus people who used actual chemical sunscreens that you can find in, you know, any drugstore product, the people using chemical sunscreens had healthier skin.
Wow.
Because the sun is so damaging, it is absolutely crucial to wear sunscreen every single day, all year long. It is, more than any other ingredient, the most anti-aging ingredient that you can use on your skin.
Right.
Yeah, and Alice knows this. When I was in Italy, I went to, I spent a little time with my husband's aunt and cousin, who are both dermatologists, okay? And it was very and it was very stressful, Trey, because they were on, you know, I put on sunblock every day and
I
wear a
hat.
You
said they look like Victorian ladies.
Well, they have amazing skin. I will say this. They have my husband's aunt, who's close to 70, she has the skin of maybe like a 35 or 40-year-old, okay? Her skin does not see the sun because she's constantly removing things from people. You know, she's a medical dermatologist. She doesn't do, like, cosmetic stuff, right? So she had a hat, a full, like, you know, like Lawrence of Arabia kind of coverage, gloves on her hands, right? So I felt like I was, like, I felt very exposed, but, you know, I'm Italian, so my skin is a little darker, but I always put on sunblock, and she was, you know, on me about, you know, sunscreen, and not being in the sun too much.
And then you
said
the Italians were just rubbing oil on
themselves. Oh, my God. And then then at the beach, so I said, look, I'm going to the beach for a week, and, you know, she poo-pooed me and was, like, appalled, but I said, I don't care. In Italy, we were the only ones putting sunblock on at the beach, Trey. It was like,
oh my goodness,
it was crazy. I mean, there were definitely people that were overly tan and burned to a crisp, but I felt like a balance, like you were saying, you know, a little bit of coverage, like timing when you're going to be in the sun, not going for 12 hours a day every day, you know, and kind of, you know, putting on the sunscreen, being aware, you know, also of your own personal sort of, like, you know, if you have a tendency to be red or to burn easily, being a little more cautious. And nowadays there's, like, SPF clothing, you know, so if you want to be more cautious with the creams, you can do that, you know?
Oh, I would agree. I think, you know, rash guards, like the SPF clothing that you're talking about, I highly recommend that. I just don't think really anyone should be running around in a bathing suit all day long at the beach. And, you know, we want to enjoy the beach, but, you know, I apply sunscreen and reapply a couple times a day, and then also wear a rash guard just because it's important. Yeah. And also sunglasses, a hat, you know, we may feel ridiculous, but guess what? You know, when we're 70, we want to look fabulous too.
Yes. Yeah. She blew me away. She stood out, let's put it that way, in Italy.
Yeah, I bet.
It was like walking around with two Victorian ladies.
So, wow. That's a lot of pressure, though, too. You know, someone being with someone who's so, so cautious. You know, how can you match that?
And how can you just enjoy yourself and be comfortable when, you know?
Yeah, I'm not putting on gloves anytime soon. And yeah. I'm definitely not in any running to be a hand model unless they want a model for someone to, you know.
Gardening hands. Yeah. No nails.
Yeah, exactly. But I do care. Alice and I spend a lot of time outside, and we care about our skin.
And honestly, you know? Just like a moisturizer that has a 15 SPF, you know, makes all the difference in the world, reapplied a couple times.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about the pollution, like you were saying, Trey. Those of us that live in cities, you can't discount that, you know, as a factor. You know,
no, you cannot. And that's actually why, too. I mean, antioxidants are really important, especially during the day. And then washing your face at night.
Yeah.
Yes. Because after you've been out all day long and you have all this pollution on your skin, that can age you.
Uh-huh.
So it's really important to wash your face thoroughly at night and then moisturize. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of moisturizers and serums and, like, really going all the way because this is the only skin we have.
That's
so
right.
It's super important to care for it.
And I see your epidermis.
That's right.
So we've been talking a lot about ladies, of course,
yeah.
But we can't, you know, forget the other half of the population and men. And it's getting more and more popular for men to really groom themselves, you know, and care for their skin as well.
Yeah, that's a huge market. Do you find that the men botanical market is emerging, Trey?
Yeah, I mean, the men's grooming market is emerging in general. I think that men are finally starting to realize that they should take care of their skin or that it's actually okay to take care of their skin.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a very different world now than it was, say, 20 years ago. Even the conversations that you might have with men, you know, a man would never use anything besides, you know,
Old Spice
and, you know, his deodorant, you know. But now it's like you can kind of see men saying, oh, what kind of skin cream should I try? And, you know,
yeah.
So it's there's more awareness there. And as a result, we're seeing a lot more brands for men out there. And in this kind of organic, natural, botanical market, there are products for men as well. So for your male listeners who are looking to take great care of their skin in a more natural way, you know, we mentioned before Wellita and Dr. Hauschka. They both have men's products, as does John Masters and Aveda.
Uh-huh.
So these are all more naturally based brands that do have products specifically for men. And, you know, a question often comes up about what's the difference between men's products and women's products. And there are different camps here, too. There is kind of something that you know, people accuse or say that women's products are more expensive. It's like, you know, the feminizing of products, and they're overcharging just because they're for women. And, you know, I don't, you know, necessarily agree with that. But what I would say is that in general, men's skin is somewhat different from women's skin. And so, you know, it might be wise to use a men's product if you're a man, simply because the pore size is different. Men's skin tends to be thicker. It tends to be rougher. They're also shaving, so there are different concerns there.
Mm-hmm.
They can take a lot more on their skin. So men's products are formulated with that in mind. I would recommend using men's versus women's products.
My husband has very, he's very Irish looking. He's kind of red and freckly. He's got a lot of like freckles and pale skin. And he gets rashes very easily. And the sun affects his skin like within 10 minutes, you know. And he started shaving with an oil that his dermatologist recommended. And it's a rose oil, actually. And it has changed his skin immensely. Like, it is so soft now, where it used to be a little rough and kind of bumpy.
And is it less rashy? Does he break out?
Rashy?
That's so interesting.
No, it's the most, and I started using it too, because I was like, and Paul kept saying, God, I'm just going through this so fast. And finally I had to like fess up and be like, yeah, it works great on my legs too, you know? So, but it's lovely to use, like,
and a little more, gentle than the Barbasol.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Or that like Old Spice stuff, which has an amazing marketing campaign. I do love their marketing campaign.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. You know, it's interesting that you bring up oils though, because, you know, oils have emerged in the past couple of years in a very different light than they had previously. You know, some, for people, especially people who have any tendency to be oily, they'd say, oh, I'm not going to use an oil on my skin. But now, all of a sudden, if you look around, there are so many oils out there, cleansing oils and shaving oils. And it's so interesting how the perception is changing about oils, because oils are actually very good for the skin,
right,
even if you do have oily skin. It just depends on how the product is formulated. You can use an oil on an oily skin and it won't create acne or breakouts.
So, right.
I love the whole emergence of oils. I mean, I was one of those. I was in the camp of like, oh, I'm not using oil on my skin. I tend to be a little bit oily or shiny. And, you know, now I actually love oils, because once you try it, you see how wonderful they can be for your skin.
Uh-huh. And it's something, again, that's from the past that's come back.
Right.
Like, I remember reading about geishas and what they used, you know, hundreds of years ago on their skin, right, to keep that beautiful porcelain complexion. They use camellia oil, Trey, and, you know, 100 years ago. And now it's kind of back on the market again, and it's ridiculously expensive. It's like one of those, like, $150 for, like, 2 ounces, but you kind of want to try it, you know, because you think, wow, this is going to, you know, look at that skin, at, you know, and it's something that's kind of tried and true. So, and I kind of feel like the beauty trend is following the food trend, right? Fats were bad for a long time, right?
Right. Now fats
are back. Good fats, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe the beauty scene is kind of following the food scene a little bit. What do you think?
I think actually that's a really interesting point, and I think you're right. You know, and I love the fact that fats are back in food. I was never one of those people to go for kind of light, L-I-T-E, or low-fat anything, just because it never made me feel good.
Yeah, because it's synthetic and weird.
And so I was always
one
for, you know, moderation and fats, and, you know, I would always use butter instead of margarine, and, you know, so I'm thrilled that it's actually back and it's actually okay to talk about. But to your point, you know, here we are. I'm seeing a lot of these oils back in products, and it, you know, if you've never used an oil on your skin, you should really try even something like an argan oil that you can buy at the health food store, mixing that in with a little bit of your face cream or trying to cleanse with it. Straight coconut oil, surprisingly. Coconut oil, and we should definitely talk about this, coconut oil is one of those oils that you can use for almost anything. Like, you can shave with it, you can wash your face with it, you can brush your teeth with it, and then you can cook with it. So coconut oil is one of those things, like, if you're a little shy about oil and you want to try one, try coconut, because it does so much.
Okay. Coconut oil.
Yeah.
All right. We have reached
the end of the show. I'm sorry. I wish we had another hour.
I feel like we're just getting started.
Yeah.
Trey, thank you so much. Can you please tell our listeners how to find you, so that, because you have weekly, you have amazing blog posts and information.
I'm putting stuff out there all the time. I have a new site called treybodge.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at True Trey, or I have a Facebook page at True Trey as well, or Trey Bodge on Instagram.
Good. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us and for shedding some light on some of these botanicals that we keep hearing about and don't really have much endorsement for. So this has been a really informative show. Thank you.
My pleasure. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
So you've been listening to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find us on Facebook at Groundworks Inc. /WeDigPlants, on Instagram at groundworksgardens.com, on Twitter at We Dig Plants. Follow us, keep in touch, let us know what you're interested in, and we'll see you in the garden.
Happy gardening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.